Standing in front of bulldozers wasn't all that Rachel did.
23-year-old student activist Rachel Corey was a senior at Evergreen State College in her hometown of Olympia, Washington, when she decided to go to Rafah, the largest Palestinian town in Gaza on the Egyptian border. Through friends and professors at Evergreen, Corey met people who were directly connected with the West Bank and awakened her to the Palestinian cause. Rachel's mother, Cindy Corey.
There was a lot of feeling that the situation would get much worse in Israel and Palestine, particularly worse for the Palestinian people in the West Bank and Gaza if there was war with Iraq. And she just chose to be there at that time.
Rachel joined the International Solidarity Movement, or ISM, a Palestinian-led group dedicated to end the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory in non-violent ways.
She was really interested in making connections and maintaining connections between our community here in Olympia, Washington, and the one in Rafah. But she was working with women and children in the Children's Parliament. She was documenting human rights violations that were occurring, wrote about those things. What she did was pretty broad, and yes, there were maybe some pieces of it that were more dangerous than other pieces, but this is the kind of thing that really brave people all over the world are doing to try to support the human rights of people who don't have them in the way that we do.
Rachel had a couple days of training with the ISM and then became a resident of Rafah, getting to know the families and learning of their daily struggles, which she often wrote about in long emails home and in her journal.
She was in an area where over 1,600 homes, according to Human Rights Watch, were destroyed between September 2000 and September 2004. And Human Rights Watch noted that most of these were destroyed without military necessity, which is against international law.
On March 16, 2003, Rachel and others from the ISM stood in the path of a 60-ton Caterpillar bulldozer and a Palestinian home with a family inside. The events that took place are in dispute by the Israeli government and the ISM. Despite Rachel's orange safety jacket, it was reported that the soldier did not see Rachel as the bulldozer pushed aside dirt and debris, crushing Rachel and backing over her a second time as it pulled away. Her friends rushed to help her and hold her as she took her last breaths. She died a short time later from her injuries. Congressman Brian Baird was Rachel's representative in Olympia.
We introduced a resolution calling on the United States government to investigate the circumstances of Rachel's death. And then I met repeatedly, actually, with the Israeli government, with our State Department and others to review, and with Rachel's family, of course, to review the reports of the death from various different sides, both the official Israeli Defense Force version as well as what Rachel's friends had said. And then I reviewed a video that had reportedly from watchtowers in the region.
A process that spanned a couple of years.
So we met repeatedly with the Israelis to try to get release of their investigative reports, and I felt there were some inadequacies in that, and tried to the best of my ability to pursue those inadequacies to get additional information.
In 2005, Rachel's parents brought a lawsuit against Caterpillar Incorporated, accusing them of aiding and abetting in war crimes. Their case was dismissed, but they appealed, and four Palestinian families who had lost family members in various demolitions throughout Gaza were added to the lawsuit.
Corporations and people, individuals that helped to support that by, in one case, selling, I think, the gases that were used in gas chambers and so forth, they were held accountable for that under law.
Last month, the Corey case was dismissed again by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. A three-judge panel decided that because the bulldozers were bought with money from the U.S. government, the case was an issue of foreign policy and outside of their jurisdiction. Jim Dugan, chief corporate spokesperson for Caterpillar, responded in an email to WMNF that Caterpillar was pleased with the ruling. Dugan added that, as a well-respected and responsible global citizen, Caterpillar fully complies with all local, U.S., and international laws and policies governing sales of our products around the world, including the U.S. Foreign Military Sales Program. In addition, we clearly have neither the legal right nor the tangible ability to regulate how customers use their machines. Rachel's father, Craig Corey.
If it's the U.S. government has paid for those bulldozers, then that's part of foreign policy, and the courts cannot be part of anything that would embarrass the executive branch. The entire government has to speak with one voice on this, and they said, and if we're right, it would be of considerable embarrassment to the executive branch.
The Coreys were represented in part by the Center for Constitutional Rights, and they have not yet decided where to go from their latest loss. As for Congressman Bayard,
I don't see any realistic likelihood of significant action happening through the Congress, except for I will make every effort I can to help them, as will a few other members of Congress. As far as any resolution passing, I think that is very extraordinarily unlikely.
And Rachel's cousin, fellow activist and teacher, Dr. Elizabeth Corey, refuses to give up on the next generation.
The world is impacting you, whether or not you want to impact the world. And I think more and more people are realizing that they have to get more involved. My calling, I feel, is to get people involved in a constructive way.
Dr. Elizabeth Corey will speak at 7:30 tonight in St. Petersburg at Eckerd College's Wireman Chapel. More about the life and family of Rachel Corey, her journals, and details of the Caterpillar lawsuit can be found at rachelcoreyfoundation.org. Other links to information covered in this story can be found on our website at wmnf.org/news. Reporting for the WMNF News, I'm Dawn Morgan.